thankfulness and joy. Being able to be thankful for all that we have and the circumstances that we're in. Having that joy that's really indescribable. That joy that we have despite our heartache and our hard circumstances. Well, these things only come when we have a real relationship with God. Habakkuk. Well, this is an amazing, powerful little book that we can find in the Bible. And it reminds us of this fact. When you read Habakkuk, all three chapters of it, you realize that this prophet of God had a relationship with God that allowed him to complain. He complained about the circumstances that he saw, and he had a dialogue with the maker of the universe, back and forth conversations. And then we come to verse 3 with this beautiful prayer, and my heart goes to this prayer. And it starts with, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk, he was crying out for God. He was crying out for the realness of God, for God to show himself again in the ways that he had done previously. Like he did for the Israelites when he set his people free. He used amazing signs and wonders. He heard the cry of his people and he orchestrated the extraction of his people through the Red Sea. Amazing. And as Habakkuk remembers these things, he becomes thankful. He thanks God and he becomes thankful for a God whose character never changes. When my children were small, I gave them all a book, a blank book, where they can write their prayers and their answers to prayers, where they can write their hopes and their dreams and their conversations with God. It's almost like a photo album where they can look back and be reminded and remind themselves of the good things of God. And in turn, this breeds thankfulness. We can be thankful for what God has done. It stirs our faith and it gives us fresh hope. And then joy comes. The Bible itself is full of mind-blowing accounts of what God has done for his people in timely ways. We see time and time again after these amazing signs and wonders have happened where God's people are praising him. For who he is and what he's done. At the end of this prayer, in verse 3, we experience Habakkuk's kind of shift. Although his circumstances haven't actually changed yet. It says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. He is now a man strengthened by the joy that he has found in his God. He's secure once more in his faith as he chooses to remember the goodness of God, the amazing ways that he's answered people's cries for help. And he asks God for help with an expectant heart. For him to intervene. Joy comes as he settles firmly in his faith, despite his circumstances not having changed yet. Remembering God's goodness in our lives and in times gone by, well, that breeds thankfulness, which in turn, well, that brings hope and joy. And our faith is strengthened.
Gratitude is a well-used term in our day and age. When you Google the word gratitude, you'll find hundreds, dare I say thousands, of references on this topic. These are just some of the top ones that came up for me. How gratitude changes you and your brain. How to practice gratitude. the science behind gratitude and how it can change your life. Giving thanks can make you happier. Why does the world need articles and books and self-help seminars about how to practice gratitude? More importantly, why do we, as believers, often need to be reminded to be thankful and give thanks to God? The writer of a Bible study I did on this topic has this to say. Our Western world is caught up in entitlement, and thus we are always discontent. We are just like Adam and Eve in the garden. Before sin entered the world, Adam and Eve had upright postures and aimed all their affections at the Trinity. But since sin entered, our postures are bent. We are not looking in full confidence only to God anymore, but we are bent towards the world. Thus, we are on an endless quest to captain our own ship. And we will not allow ourselves to be happy until we have it all. As a result, we are bound in discontent, wallowing in our own pride. We are chasing shadows. In James 4, verse 1 to 2, we read this. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires for pleasure, which are constantly fighting within you. You want things, but you cannot have them, so you are ready to kill. You strongly desire things, but you cannot get them, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have what you want, because you do not ask God for it. When believers of the day started quarreling over what should or shouldn't be eaten, whether to get married or not, Timothy reminded them that everything that God has created is good. Nothing is to be rejected, but everything is to be received with a prayer of thanks. There are numerous examples in the Bible for living a life of thanksgiving. Think about Paul, who, even though he was in prison many times and under the threat of death for spreading the gospel, Paul chose to rejoice and commanded the church in Philippi and us today to rejoice in all things. I don't know about you, but in Paul's position, I would feel despair and anger, even fear. But instead of pitying himself, he cannot stop thanking God, and he says that it is right for him to feel that way. So I wonder why God would give us this command. I'm convinced that God understands and grieves deeply with us when we are feeling rightfully angry or hurt. He understands and allows us to feel disheartened and depressed. Maybe God gave us this command to rejoice and be thankful because he knows that if we obey, we will reap the ripe fruits of experiencing his presence and enjoying his peace and contentment. These well-known verses from Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 are often quoted. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need. Always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. I love the way the Good News Translation puts that. So thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It is choosing to not wallow in self-pity, but instead counting our blessings and thanking God for them all. Choosing to live a life of gratitude and thankfulness takes our focus off our own often deceptive needs and places our gaze upon the King. May I encourage all of us today to live a life of thanksgiving. Some practical steps to get into the habit of doing that could be listening to worship music. I'm just naming things that help myself. Maybe you've got other things. So listening to worship music. Naming three things you're grateful for every day and three new things every day. Writing them down and giving thanks to God for the things you have written down every day. Now, social media, maybe some of you have noticed, is full of references to gratitude journals. I have made one, and I'm starting to use it, specifically to get into the habit of living a life of thanksgiving, even in these uncertain times. You don't need a dedicated gratitude journal to start living like this. But if you would like a little one like this, send me an email and I will make sure that I drop one off to you. And guys, you are included in this invitation as well. I can make them look much more masculine than this. I'll leave you with this quote by Mary Davis. May I let go of all I can't control and open my heart to receive the blessings of this moment. Be thankful, everyone.
Penny and Sandra have led us through this idea that gratitude leads to joy, and it really does. But I want to share with you a few other ways that we can restore our joy. Principles that can help us to walk in the joy of the Lord. And so here's number one. Joy is something God can easily restore. In Psalm 51 verse 12, we read, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your willing spirit." Do you remember the time that you got saved? Wasn't it such a moment of joy? And God wants to give us that same joy each and every day. When we turn and go back to authentic relationship with Jesus, we get the joy that he gives us, the joy in having relationship with Jesus. And this is something that God can do. He can restore our joy. Number two is joy is found in the presence of God. We read in Psalm 16 verse 11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So if you're lacking joy, stop and sit in the presence of God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, with that gratitude that Sandra was talking about, and consider God's incredible kindness and celebrate how powerful he is. And in this way, we can experience his joy. Number three is joy is found in delighting in God's word. Psalm 119 verses 111, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." And in the Message version, it reads, "I inherited your book on living." You know, when we stop and we dive into God's word, when we figure out for ourselves and using other people's interpretations, talking with our friends about scripture, when we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal scripture to us, we get a real sense of joy when we understand the passages that are going on. And so I encourage you, if you're lacking joy, to get into God's word, to find some scripture that brings joy. Start in the Psalms where David starts to rejoice in the Lord always. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about miracles and the answer to prayer. And you know what? Joy is found in answered prayer. In John 16, verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be filled. Answered prayer brings us joy. You can't have answered prayer without feeling a sense of joy and knowing that you've prayed and you've got a real answer to prayer. We might not like the answer sometimes, but when we get that answer to prayer, God gives us the joy that goes with it. So stop. If you're finding that you're lacking joy, stop and make time to pray. And then look out for the answers to those prayers. Joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, we read, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, and the rest of them. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to give us joy. The Holy Spirit comes to fill us with his presence and to connect us back to Jesus, back to God. And when that happens, man, we get a real sense of joy. So look out for that, those moments where you get to rest in the Holy Spirit and be rested and filled with his Spirit and the joy that it brings. What an amazing time that is. Joy fills our hearts as we remember the good things that God has done through the people that he has placed in our lives. In Philippians 1:3-5, I thank God for you every time I think of you, and every time I pray for you, I pray with joy because of the way in which you have helped me in the work of the gospel from the very first day until now. I know for myself, when I think of the way that God is working in the lives of others, or when I have this moment that I can't explain except for that it was an encounter that God has set up, an amazing encounter from somebody that I needed in those moments. And I can't explain them, but it's from God. And so when we have these moments, when we're talking to our friends, when we engage with our families, just remember that this brings about a sense of joy that God has placed these people in our lives, and we can be thankful. We can have such gratitude for these people that it's inside of us wells up with joy. And so be encouraged as we spend time with each other and have that real sense of joy from God. And the last one is joy comes when we trust in the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 4. Oh, the joys of those who trust in the Lord. Placing our trust in God brings joy, people. We have a God who loves us more than we can imagine, a God who is more powerful than we can comprehend, and who has promised to help us if we put our trust in him. Settle your heart in God, because he wants to help you. So I end this morning with this quote from Henry Jim Nowen. He says, joy does not simply happen to us. We must choose joy, and we must keep choosing it every day. So church family, are we going to choose joy? Are we going to choose gratitude, that gratitude that Sandra was talking about, that leads to this joy that we have in the Lord? Let's choose it each and every day.